very respectful.
I miss Bernie.
I miss Bernie. Moet, are we rolling?
We are rolling.
Lord God, Heavenly Moet. This is Loser Lee's Wrestling here with Red Jefferson and Moet Jaswal. Moet, how did you feel about AEW tonight?
Oh, good. I thought you were going to ask me a different question.
We can't talk about that. That would kill the episode.
Yeah, escapism. That's what the show's title is tonight. It was fine. It was wrestling on a Wednesday night, a very important Wednesday. Yeah, it was fine. Did you like it?
Oh, it was very weird. My woos and whats are all over the place. And I will say, this is Loser Lee's Wrestling. We cover AEW Dynamite. Just happened a moment ago. Please follow us at Loser Lee's Wrestling on Instagram and listen to our podcast on all the podcast platforms. Loser Lee's Pod. @gmail.com for any questions in the mailbag on Saturdays. But this is the Woos and Whats, where we pick apart the episode and give you what we thought was the best and worst. Moet, what's your big woo of the evening? What did you think was poop, like, off the charts?
My favorite thing was the build-up promo between Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley. I thought it may not be for everybody, but it was definitely for me. It was so dramatic. I can't even explain what happened. Like, I don't know what they were talking about. I only got glimpses of it. It was just the raw emotion and power and melodrama, soap opera acting. Eddie Kingston nuzzled Jon Moxley's nose for like a minute straight. He gave him Eskimo kisses a couple times, which I thought was very funny. And sweet,
yeah,
and dramatic. Yeah, it was great. That was basically it. Yeah.
I was worried at first because Eddie Kingston kept interrupting Jon Moxley, and I was worried that it was going to get weird and just get them screaming over each other. But it got really good, especially when he's talking behind him, and they had that really good like moment where you see his face, him try to play it off, then get real serious when he's talking about his mother. You're talking about my mother. Like, I love that. I thought it was that is also on my woos, Moet.
You know what that ending reminded me of? I love that Kingston was like interrupting Moxley, because most of the time when he does that, people like don't know how to react to it, and then it gets kind of awkward, like and you could just see them kind of struggle to stay in character. But Moxley kind of understood, and he would like he used that as fuel, and then when Moxley was talking behind Kingston, the whole thing reminded me of like a college third year acting exercise, especially if just like, you know, I could just see if I was there, I was direct like, no, Moxley, use his energy, get angry. How do you feel? Yeah. When he interrupts you, go. Yeah. And face center stage. Don't look back. Just let's see your reactions. You know,
Eddie,
that was great.
Tell the story John's telling with your face. Tell it with your face, Eddie.
Yeah.
Like it really was, honestly, some sort of thespian workshop. That was pretty interesting.
He's talking about your mother. How does that make you feel? Like, perfect.
He's talking about your friendship together. Are you happy? Oh, yeah, you're happy. Especially in the beginning. He was doing these weird fucking smiles. Real fun stuff. Well, and what the thing is, they've gotten, like, I've gotten interested in the feud based off of the packages they've been doing. But this promo was pretty good. I'm pretty excited about it now. Moet, who do you have to win that match? Who do you have to win it?
Well, Moxley's probably going to retain it. Unfortunately, because I don't see Kingston as like a champion, but that's okay. He doesn't need to be. I think he's great in these sort of roles, just like pushing people's buttons and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it has potential to be a good match. Mm-hmm. You know.
And what were you gonna say? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I don't remember what I was gonna say anymore because I was on a different thought process.
Shit on my bed.
Shoot. Oh, I was just gonna say one thing. I wish is that I wish they had more chances to talk mano y mano a few times. This just made me realize there have been too many video promos between the two of them, which were good, but this was just so much more absurd.
Yeah.
You know?
And what's good about this is that, like, and to that point, they haven't had much of this. This feud doesn't have to die. He's got his whole family, and I would love to see Penta versus Jon Moxley. You know, Eddie Kingston, he's going to need a mouthpiece, and Eddie Kingston already has this feud. Like, this is, I like where they're going with this, and we're happy here at Loser Lee's Wrestling. Mo, what's your next big woo of the night?
The next thing I liked about this show was Miro's debut as a singles wrestler. Only okay. So here's the thing. He wrestled Trent, and honestly, from like, you know, conventional standards, I think he's a bad wrestler. I think it's kind of, he kind of is exposed. Ooh. And I think Miro, and I think he's also kind of a bad promo, but, sure. But I'm going to say I don't think he needs to be a good wrestler, and I don't think he needs to be able to speak on the mic properly, because I love what he does on the mic. And for me, it's all just like body, and like, you know, he has a great look to him. It's very fun to watch him, you know, and he makes lots of really silly expressions, and like, I don't know, I was just so tickled watching this. It just felt so different than AEW stuff.
I have a question. What do you don't think he's a good wrestler? What about him in this match did you feel that wasn't up to snuff?
It felt like a WWE match, basically. So
wrong with that, Mowat?
Well, that's the thing. And in WWE, since everyone's doing essentially the same formula, like it's more kind of blended into the whole thing. So at the time, I thought he's a good wrestler, and AEW, the work rate's different, you know. So I'm used to a specific style because everyone's just trying to go so fast. So like. Maybe bad wrestler isn't right, because there are different metrics to be a good wrestler, right?
And I thought there was a styles clash. There was definitely a styles clash in the match, where like Miro was taking it slower and building up, while Trent is, you know, being a part of the AEW roster, you think you have to step on the pedal the entire time. I thought this showed that Miro was far superior a wrestler than Trent.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think this match was just awkward. I think Trent is a great wrestler. We're yet to see where Miro is yet. Like, I have a feeling he's still stuck in WWE style, because as far as I know, I don't think he's been wrestling anywhere else or doing really anything other than the last couple matches he's done in AEW. So, well, I'm just seeing if he's gonna grow, because it felt like a lot of like a couple, you know, a boot here, a kick there, and then a pose. But the poses were great.
Yeah, he does. I will say that I think this is him kind of like getting used to the environment. Like, this is his first singles match. And his first, you're right, it's his first long match in a long time. You know, like, its first match where it was a competitive match rather than his, you know, 5 to maybe 10 minute matches on Raw and or SmackDown. So like that, I definitely see your point there. I feel like when WWE guys come to AEW, they have some time adjusting, but they end up being such better wrestlers. Brody Lee, Cody, Jericho, because they start slow, I think.
Well, also, I mean, I think, because they have this like infrastructure in WWE that can teach them how to react to a crowd, and what's most effective to work it with cameras, and like they do milk a lot of emotion and in each move, which is a detriment sometimes, but actually works really well. Which I think they all kind of do. They all kind of know how to work that. Mm-hmm. That maybe indie stars don't really get as often.
Yeah, that's fair.
It did seem kind of like Miro was kind of tired after like halfway through. Like, he was really like blowing up a little bit.
I was going to write down Miro and Trent as well, but like that end of match thing, I'm sorry, get your goddamn breath together before you get on the microphone at the end.
It was embarrassing.
Because like when you sound huff puff and then you fall down and like not fall down, but lean against the apron because you can't stand up, you don't look like a badass anymore. It looks like you're a little out of shape. So I think that was, he should have caught his breath.
And those promos were bad, but in that bad way that I absolutely love. I'm just like, your mother is stinky. You're a bad wrestler. Your breath smells. I'm going to kill your butt. And then,
he's eventually going to get over on him just being him. And I'm very excited about that. Just being him. Not a good actor, but him being him. I did not pick that for my woo. My next woo of the evening is going to be Hangman versus Kenny Omega video package, where they put don't know what you got till it's gone by Cinderella. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I was so happy with how they handled that. It was just so much fun. That's all I got. It's just a lot of fun.
Did you like the sit down interviews they kind of put throughout the night?
One's another woo and one's a what?
It's a separate. You want to just talk about the woo now?
Yeah, give me your. Do you have one of those as your woo?
Actually, one of them. Yeah, the Hangman promo. I like.
Hell yeah, that's on mine too.
Good.
That's on mine too.
What would it been like? Yeah, I like that because it was very sad. But Hangman is a sad character, and I like that. I like that they're showing vulnerability. I think it's you don't see that very often with men in pop culture, but you definitely don't see it often with professional wrestlers in culture. That goes against their whole thing of just like you beat people up because you don't know how to express your emotion. So for Hangman to be in this drunk state because he can't handle the stress of like fighting his best friend or, you know, former tag team partner, I thought was just really beautiful.
Yeah. And the way actually JR did a great job too, because even like, you know, he was playing that fatherly southern type, you know, where he's using his grandma's colloquialisms and shit like that, but then he's like saying like I think you're lying, I think you're nervous, and I was expecting Hangman to go on to this thing like, no, I'm not nervous, I'm one of the best, blah blah blah, and drinking and maybe being a little drunker, but he's like, well, maybe I am a little nervous, just like you said, that vulnerability, like I feel like that shocked me that he went down that route, and I feel like he's someone that's gonna get over because he seems genuine.
He seems
very and genuine. Sweet.
I hope the alcoholic thing pays off soon. He doesn't just like keep drinking and then, or you know.
Yeah.
I don't like that as a gimmick.
Yeah.
Like to have someone as a, like an alcoholic as a gimmick. It just it needs an arc.
I think they are, because it is getting worse. You know, it is getting worse. I didn't like how much JR talked about it. I did like him acting like that, but I thought they should hold off on people bringing it up, because the first time you see someone drunk, you don't automatically, well, he is in an interview, so who knows.
And he has been doing that for like a year straight now. Like, so it makes sense why he brought it up. Because it's gonna affect his match too, so like as a professional, Jared should bring it up. It just did feel a little awkward and like bad acting, essentially.
Yeah.
He just didn't know how to throw it in there correctly.
Yeah, but why don't he'll get used to it. He'll get drunk more.
Yeah.
What he has to do is get drunk, actually drunk. That's the issue. There's no method acting in wrestling anymore. If this guy's going to be a drunk wrestler, let him wrestle drunk. That's...
You know what I agree too. I think, I mean, I think you? He definitely does. Yeah, no, I think that'll be fun. I mean, he drinks. He drinks so much. But when the crowds were still around, he would drink people's beers in the audience, you know, so if he does that before a match? Yeah. He might find himself in a sticky situation. You got to be ready for it. And maybe he's even better as a drunk wrestler, you know, like playing pool.
I can't wait for him to get over this hump of this, whatever arc this is, where he's like, oh, I need to get clean and sober, that he has these matches. And then he's just like, well, what? I'm able to have a beer every now and then after a good match. And then after his matches, he has one beer, moderation, and then he walks back. I hope that's the character progression for Hangman Page.
That's pretty good.
I hope so. Well, we've got that woo. Yeah. That's another, we got two woos together. What's your next woo, Moet? What you got? What's your fourth woo?
The next one, I thought the Sammy Guevara and Ortiz versus MJF and Wardlow match was very interesting. And interesting enough to put it on my woo list. I thought the match was good. I thought it was good. But what I found most interesting was that Sammy and Ortiz were playing faces.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was really bizarre. I didn't like how it ended. I didn't like how it ended where Sammy flipped off Matt Hardy. And then Matt Hardy was in the audience with a mask. And he took off his mask. Because that ruined the whole experience.
Yeah.
But up until that point, I thought it was really fascinating. And I was curious what your thoughts were on the face and heel dynamic here.
I felt it was awkward to me. It was a little too awkward to me because, I don't know. I just didn't get into the match. The fact that they're both heels, I don't necessarily believe Sammy or Ortiz are actually, like, they're, neither one of them are very good actors. Like, unfortunately, and MJF is a clinic. And Wardlow is literally a tree with no expression. So it was kind of this one person telling the story for a little bit, with MJF kind of telling the story of what's going on. And I don't know, it just didn't click for me. I'm excited for a future MJF versus Sammy match, or MJF versus Ortiz. I don't like MJF and Wardlow as a tag team either. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't like MJF and tag team matches. it doesn't make sense because I'm just like, why would he ever tag in? Like, his character would be like, no, you're Wardlow. Like, I don't even understand why he would even enter the match until he wants to win. So the psychology is immediately gone for me. I will agree that it was a good match. It was a good match.
Yeah.
And Matt Hardy thing did ruin it. Even though later on when Matt Hardy came out with Private Party and then Sammy Guevara just beat the shit out of him was very funny to me. That was very funny. Because as soon as Private Party came out and then Matt Hardy's just awkwardly in between them trying to move forward, I'm just like, will someone just hit him with a chair? Will someone? And Sammy answered my prayers. It was a beautiful thing.
Stuff. Yeah.
I did not have that as my a woo. My next woo is going to be Pac. His promo package.
Yeah, that's my last one. You nailed all five of mine.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice. Let's talk about it. What'd you like about it?
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I thought it was really fun editing, clever editing. I was wishing that, because they announced it last week, that he was going to have an announcement of some kind. And so I was hoping for a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I was hoping for maybe an announcement that he was going to show up at Full Gear or something crazy. Yeah. I don't even know if that's possible since he's in England. But for what it is, you know, it's a fun little like, hey, I'm still alive kind of video package. Like, I'm still around, you know, and I think that was fun.
Exactly. And I didn't know what to expect either. I was worried it was just going to be a phone call with Tony Schiavone with Pac's picture there. And I was just so like, I that's what I thought it was going to be. But the fact that they went in a creative way with it, I had fun. It was very fun. Yeah. And it made me excited to see him back.
Yeah. And that guy's had really rotten luck for the ever since he left WWE. So this is just really tragic to me to think he's gone again for almost a full year now.
In WWE too, he had terrible luck.
Mm-hmm.
Like he finally starts to get over as this cruiserweight, the king of the cruiserweights. And then Enzo, the real life piece of shit, becomes TV biggest piece of shit, where he's the top heel and they're like, oh, we're giving him the title. Like, yeah.
He didn't deserve that.
He did not deserve
that. No, neither of them did. Yeah, Enzo or Pac, but whatever.
I secretly wish for Enzo to come back. I have one more woo for you, Moet. We're both going to be excited about this. AEW Games announcing next Tuesday, they're making a big announcement. Their video game.
Wait, what?
They're making a big video game announcement. Yes, they did.
Oh my god, I missed it.
Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, AEW Games is going to make a big announcement of what's going to be happening, and I'm stoked.
That's crazy. Where did you, when did they say that in the...
They said it so briefly. They said it so briefly at the beginning of the return from a commercial break. I'll make sure to check us out next Tuesday at 3 p.m. for an AEW Games live update. And then I looked online and they're going to make some sort of announcement.
That's great. I read about it online before the show, but this is the first I think I've heard the company actually bringing it up. So that's really exciting.
Very fun stuff. Great. Well, we're done with the fun stuff, Moet. All the rest is bullshit. Moet, what's your favorite, your biggest what of the night?
There have been too many cheap attacks on this whole show, and that really pissed me off. It was a really crummy... I should have said this at the very top instead of what I usually say. But like, it was just a really crummy go home show for that reason.
Some examples. Which ones are you talking about?
So Sammy flipping off Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy hits him.
Sure.
And then they fight to the back, and then Matt Hardy walks out. Sammy hits Matt Hardy and beats him with a chair, and then they fight to the back or whatever the hell happens to him. Miro beats up the best friends. MJF does something, but I didn't write what he did, but he beat up somebody, I'm pretty sure, because I wrote it. FTR comes in and beats up the Young Bucks. It just happens over and over again. Orange Cassidy beats up John Silver, then walks away. It was just such a like lame way to set up these matches is like one last time. You know,
on second thought, sounds pretty lazy. Sounds pretty lazy. I didn't even realize it. In all honesty, none of the matches really wowed me. So each finish that happened, I was just almost like, whatever. Everything kind of glazed over. But I guess that's probably the reason why it was so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, they're usually better than this. Yeah. So I don't know. And they're very strict on not allowing DQ finishes so far. So I don't know why they would continue doing this. It's just a very lazy way to set up these stories. I was very disappointed.
Real dumb. Real dumb. Well, Moet, my first what of the evening, big what? Y2J on commentary. Jericho on commentary tonight. was not very good. I thought he was flustered the first half, screaming a few times, and sometimes saying inappropriate things. I don't know. There's a few times that I was just like, is this guy drunk or is he hungover? And honestly, it might be a combination of both. He is a big Trump fan. So he's probably reeling a little bit. And I was trying to find him and Tony Schiavone being real sad sometime in the night, and I didn't catch any. But yeah, that's my big what of the night.
I did remember why I wrote MJF Town. MJF attacks Chris Jericho. And that was my first one that I was going to mention, of how, like, I hated that MJF attacked him, because I thought it would have been a lot better in my opinion. It's so small, it's insignificant, that particular one, but it would have been way better if they didn't touch each other at all until the match started on Saturday, because that was like their whole dynamic. They do a dance together, they're kind of, you know, hinting at a fight, but they're very professional dickheads about it, so it bothered me. But anyways, that's not what your what is about.
My next what is exactly about that. So what's your next what? Okay. What's your what of the evening? What's your big in?
My second one is the ending, the Cody fight and the promo. I just wrote blah. That's my only note. It was just really boring to me. Yeah. I thought I didn't like Gun Club and Cody versus Dark Order. It felt like a really bad, like a match on Dark. It was just like, it was fine, but
Austin Gunn winning, just like a match on Dark.
Yeah, exactly. It was cool that he won, and just from like a human perspective, like, oh, I'm glad he got a big moment on Dynamite as like a guy, as a person. Like, good for him. That must have been really a big deal for him.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I wrote that down as a potential woo. Is just seeing Austin Gunn excited at the end, because that was pretty sweet. Because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, and I do have a lot of like respect for him. Honestly, I don't really care about him as a wrestler, but he has been working his ass off ever since the pandemic started. He's in the exact same corner every episode, just screaming his head off, just chanting and clapping, and just getting, you know, trying to make it feel like a big atmosphere for every single match. So I really appreciate that about him.
Oh, he's got gumption, sweet little guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but then like, yeah, Cody's promo at the end with Darby Allin was like pretty boring. I don't know, like it I think I generally like his sort of like epic kind of over the top promos, but this one just hit me the wrong way, because Darby, like, it's the first one in this feud, and you know they're gonna wrestle in like 5 days or 4 days or whatever the hell, and like he just tried to add so much tension to something that could just be like a grudge match. Yeah. You know,
100%. And it's Darby Allin. It's Darby fucking Allin. You can't make this feel epic. I'm sorry, Cody. you can't. My next one of the evening is MJF and Y2J's feud. I feel like after that dance number, it's fallen off a cliff in terms of quality of the segments, and also I don't like the direction that the feud's going, where I didn't want to see this viciousness from MJF in this feud. I honestly would have loved for him to go into this match them being trying to be friends and trying to be like, oh, let's have a match, and if I win, I'm in it, and if you win, I'm not in it. And like, it's almost silly.
That would have been great,
up until the point where during the match MJF's afraid to hit him. Like, yeah. MJF's so afraid to hit him, like he's just like, ah, oh, but man, you're gonna be upset at me. Like, I want you to almost like not saying it in the match, but having the match start off where MJF's going a little easier on him, because he's just like, well, I don't want you to get him too mad, I just want to win. So he's trying to get roll-ups, sneaky things, and then eventually MJF's like thumb in the eyes, like, no, I'm going to win now. I'm going to win.
Okay, because my issue is that his character is like a slimy, backstabbing prick. So as long as it got to that point like you find out he's just like joking the whole time, and he will win, because he did hint at that at the last promo they did, the like last week, where he's like, I'll do anything to win.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really great moment. But yeah.
And I like that. But this, the punching him, the saying like, oh, I'm soft. Like, I don't want to see. I didn't want to see that. I don't want to see him intense in this way. Not for this silly feud. I wanted this feud to remain pretty lighthearted. It shouldn't be serious. These are two of the biggest comedy wrestling people in the world right now. Why are they getting to a serious place when they just started with this huge comedy bits? Huge, long comedy bits, to change it on a dime like that? Real dumb. Real dumb. Yeah, shot its load. I wrote shot its load.
Shot its load. That's a good one. That should be on a t-shirt. Well, that's you gotta write that one load. Down. That's a t-shirt idea.
Holy crow. Shot its load.
That's a, yeah, not everything in, not every match needs to be the most serious, dramatic thing in the world. I think AEW generally does that. Orange Cassidy has, like, the Mimosa match, I guess, was pretty silly in context. But even then, there was, like, so much build up to it of, like, it lasted for three matches. You know, it can, some matches can just be silly.
Yeah.
And fun.
And I was hoping for this to be. I was hoping this to be more of the silly match. And that's why I was hoping for MJF to go that route, because they could have a much different match if one competitor is trying to still be friends at the end, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like that idea, that psychology of how do you win that type of match? By roll-up, and only by roll-up.
Until, if they don't fight each other at all. Yeah. That's actually really fun. That's a really fun one. That would have to change, I think, a little bit of the storyline that they build
out. I would love
out.
A best but friends to
But if you build
that
it that
match.
Way.
The best friends to, like, they're in a tournament together, and then they, like, eventually they come to head-to-head, and they just want a match where they don't hurt the other guy. You know, like, for the best, I would think that would be a really fun idea.
That'd be really fun. Yeah.
Well, Mo, what's your next? Did I give my what? Yeah. What's your next what?
Next one. There's not much to say about this, but I wrote Team Taz promo. I know we've kind of talked about everything we have to. There's nothing even special about this to point out. You know, we've explained why we don't like the Team Taz promos.
Sure.
So I don't know if there's anything extra you want to add about this particular one.
I almost put this in my woos.
What are you saying?
Now, hear me out. Because funny to me. It's almost like their promos are the same each week. That is almost becoming like, oh, I can't wait for my one word from Cage. And I can't wait for Ricky Starks to go off on a long tangent that could be cool, but also could be pretty lame.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly like,
and Taz, I thought, was at his best. This was Taz's best night. If not Ricky or Cage's, what... Taz goes up to Cage. He's just like, Brian Cage, who better than Cage? Puts it right up to him. He's just like, not a single person. and then Taz like, well said. Like, almost like a jab at him. It was so funny to me. And then Ricky starts to go off on this long thing. He's just like, I tell me, guys, is 1 + 1 2? And he's like, yeah, 2. Then why don't I have a championship? Like, it's just such a dumb.
I know, because I want us to succeed so bad. And so, like, when, you know, when Brian Cage was like, I'm the best. Nobody, you know. Then it's like Ricky gets the mic, and I'm like, all right, Ricky, now we're going. I was
Brian,
like,
Brian,
to
the
follow.
Mic's here. The mic's right here. Like, where's the mic? It's just like Brian Cage is trying so hard. It's very sweet. And Ricky's, they're both trying so hard, which is, but completely different effects.
It's true. Yeah, Ricky looked amazing tonight too, by the way. I loved his outfit. I loved the weird glasses he was wearing. I was a fan.
Ricky looks like a
hoping...
star.
Yeah. Yeah, and when he started that promo, it felt very, very, like, you know, charismatic.
Yeah.
I was like, I was on it. I was on the hook. And then he, after his one, I was like, 1 + 1 = 2. I get it. I'm into it. And then it's like, well, why don't I have a match? Like, well, I don't, how does that, what does that have to do with
Well, it doesn't make
Matt.
Like a sense, Ricky.
Yeah, I was not a fan. What do you think these Team Taz should even be doing?
In all honesty, like, I was pretty entertained by this promo of this group that feels like, now I'm trying to see their image. I'm trying to see what they're going for. It's this team of talented rejects constantly complain, think there's a conspiracy. I almost think of them as like the alt-right of AEW. There's a conspiracy against us. We got the, they're like, no, you can have the,
it's like, there's clear evidence.
No, you can have,
there's
the
clear evidence. There's no, there's no conspiracy.
Would you like a match, Ricky Starks? Yeah. Did you ask for one? Like, it's kind of like that. I kind of like that. If they're able to mold it a little better and not have it be the same each and every week. And they're just like, oh, you don't want to be a part of our group? Then we don't want, then we're going to beat you up. Like, kind of the Will Hobbs thing, him talking about TK. I'm kind of getting into it.
What happened to Will Hobbs? What the hell? He didn't even mention Hobbs once in this promo.
Yeah, where's our Hobbs reference? They're supposed to be stalking him.
Yeah, no, there's been, it was going on for weeks. I'm like, Will Hobbs, are you joining us? Are you joining? And then, no, he doesn't care anymore. That's, I don't know. Man. Maybe Will Hobbs will show up at the pay-per-view. Maybe he'll corner Darby because they're friends. And then and then Team Taz will come out and beat up Will Hobbs or something like that.
Maybe
they'll find a way to make it make sense.
Because I want Will Hobbs. I actually would like to see Will Hobbs, Brian Cage, in a little bit of a thing going on. They had something, right? Did they have a match or like a tag?
Yeah.
I'd like to see sure they had a match more on program or with something. That. I would like to see more of it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. My next what? So far, we haven't had a single same what. There's too many whats on this show that we haven't even touched the same one yet.
I didn't really write that much, to be honest. A lot of the stuff, like nothing. I get when I think of whats, I think of like, oh, what do I hate? What offends me? What's so frustrating? But so I didn't write that many.
My next one I don't hate, but it just bored me. The Kenny Omega with Tony Schiavone. Kenny Omega, it was boring. I didn't understand what about the dog. He's like, this is in my house. This is my dog. And never explained that. Tony Schiavone looks so sad. Tony Schiavone seemed bored.
I thought I just missed it because that's really reassuring that you mentioned that. Because, yeah, the dog thing, I was like, oh, well, which house is he in? What does this say? Because he was very pleasant about it. I was like, well, thank you very much. But in fact, this is not my dog. I'm like, well, what does that mean? I thought I missed, like, his explanation.
It almost feels like in an improv scene where someone said, like, rejects your suggestion. You're going to be like, oh, this is a great boat we're on. Like, this is a car. And then everything stops. Everyone, like the whole thing. Because how are you supposed to play? Oh, this car boat. Nope, just a car. Like, it's so you can't reject. Yeah. Like, Tony Schiavone started it with, this is your house.
That's exactly.
Just go with it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like, hi, Kenny. The nice house you got here. That's a nice dog. Not my house, not my dog. Like,
Oh man.
Real
depressing. It just looks sad. Tony, and I don't want to see Tony Schiavone sitting down at full body. I don't know, he just seems so sad sitting down, like almost a clump. It wasn't a good look.
Felt like it looked like a clump of clay.
It did.
You like mold into a Tony Schiavone.
He's like an unsculpted clay, a little block of clay. Mo, what's your next what of the evening? What do you got? Anything else?
That's pretty much it. I guess I could mention the women's match. I thought was really frustrating. I think I don't know why Brandy was there. Why don't we just say it's my what? Let's just get into it. Do you know why Brandy was there?
Nope.
Cornering Red Velvet? They didn't explain it. I don't know. Maybe it was on Dark. Maybe it's a thing that they didn't explain. They explained on a different show.
And they didn't bring up in commentary at all because Chris Jericho's too busy screaming.
Yeah.
I actually have the ending of that match as one of my what's. When Vicky Guerrero goes up to Sheeta, and then she does this racist thing.
What happened? I missed a little
she
bit
did
of
the,
it.
Like, she did like a racist gesture, like a racist Asian gesture with your hands, and saying something obviously not really Japanese.
No.
It sounded offensive. Hey, I don't speak Japanese, so maybe she was having a real conversation, but she said something in a very cartoonish way that I felt like I was uncomfortable with.
Yeah, that's not good. I missed that.
It was at the end, right before Sheeta grabbed her collar. Do you remember when she grabbed Vicky Guerrero? She said something right before that was pretty loud.
Occasionally, I get a little distracted by Atticus, the show's mascot.
Atticus, the mascot.
No,
it's not good.
Atticat. But yeah, so that was a moment where I was paying attention to him because I was like, oh, she's just going to say some stuff. Like, I tuned out of that segment. And then, like, oh, they're just going to fight. And it's like, it's going to be boring. It's going to be a pull apart brawl. And then that's what happened. So I missed that little bit.
I was excited for her when she started talking, but then she
then
she kind of didn't do the thing I wanted.
I'm baffled that they brought her in to manage Nyla Rose, and then Nyla Rose's response was she was saying that she noticed everyone in that time that had a manager was getting a title shot, so why, you know, or they're succeeding, so I want a manager, and then they get a manager, and then they drop the entire thing until last week when they're like, yeah, you got your title shot. It'll be on the pay-per-view.
I'm sorry, so, Nyla. We already have a women's segment today. We'll book you for the third. Like, just push it out. Everyone else, Kenny Omega sneezes that it's on the show and they can't get quality time for at least two women's segments. Disrespectful.
It's absurd.
Mo, do you have any other what's the night? I got one more.
Wait, did I? Oh, I actually do have one more. I forgot. I just didn't.
Oh, so then you have a full set, Mowat.
I do actually have a full set. I Look at me go. Look at me. I got a little professional. Young Bucks versus Private Party.
Young Bucks versus Private Party. Yep. That was bad. Well, it wasn't bad. It wasn't fun.
No, see, I liked the match. It actually wasn't, which is why the last thing I want to mention. Because it was very fun. It was very fast-paced. I actually enjoy, like, it's not very realistic, which can be a good thing and bad thing, in that it just feels like acrobatic movements. Like, you know, it's a different world when you watch, especially Young Bucks versus Private Party. Mm-hmm. So you gotta either, you know, can accept it or you can't, you know? So that part didn't, you know, upset me. But there was too many things. Like, with that fast pace, there's a lot of botches that come from it. Because there's a lot of timing issues. And I saw that a lot, especially with Private Party, just like slowing down in awkward moments or like being, just trying to get in place, you know?
Yeah.
The selling was really bad. Like, Matt Jackson was like kind of uneven because he was selling his ankle or whatever.
He sold the wrong leg for a little while.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
He switched from left to right and then back to left.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I just noticed because sometimes he could barely stand on it. Sometimes he would try to lift, and then he wouldn't be able to even lift somebody. And then other times he was doing, like, fucking, you know, pile drivers and super kicks and things. So, like, it just kind of was annoying. Unrealistic ending. Oh, I had to remember what that meant for a second. Yeah, just the fact that, like, it looked like Private Party was going to win. And it just didn't make sense to me how Matt Jackson could come back from this, like, potentially broken ankle sort of scenario, swollen ankle. And then it didn't really make them look good in any way for their match on Saturday. So.
Yeah, it didn't make them look good. I was just so bored. I was honestly pretty bored with the match. The one thing, though, I did want to bring up to you, and it was almost one of my woos, was the video package for FTR and Young Bucks.
Yeah.
That video package is how that feud should have been built. Not anything else they did. Everything else they did has been hot garbage. Everything they've done with those two has been hot garbage this entire feud. But that video package is what it should have been. Oh, the video package basically explains this has been well before AEW, this feud.
Yeah.
And, like, it gives you this real reason why they're fighting. The thing, we should have had this first so we know the story, we see the people talk about it, we explain that, and then have whatever bullshit you want to do. This was, like, it was a good video package, though, even though it's been poorly produced program.
Oh my god, yeah, I just can't get over it. It bugs me so much how poorly they set this up after knowing it's been years in the making. Like, I'm sure they thought about it, you know, of how they would set up this feud, and so it wasn't just a match, you know, and then just like the Young Bucks being heels, but then now they're trying to become faces with this, like, injury angle, like, and then that they're never gonna fight again or challenge for the belt again if they lose. None of it made sense. And
continue.
One thing that really bugged me, this is actually going a little bit further back, was when FTR first got into the company, they like held off on the feud. And when someone asked why they didn't want to wrestle Young Bucks, they said that they wanted to wait until they were at the best. When the Young Bucks were at their best state, they were like 100% healthy because they wanted to beat the best. They wanted to show everyone that, like, even what they, you know, the Young Bucks consider they're the best, they're not. The FTR is. And I thought that was, like, a pretty good reason for why they wouldn't wrestle immediately. Like, oh, this dream match could happen anytime now, but there's a reason.
Yeah. Because
they're off wrestling or whatever, you know, other teams. But now they're just, like, trying to break Matt Jackson's ankle, and that's just, like, every time it happens, I'm like, you're just, you know, what happened to that initial, why didn't they just wrestle before, you know?
It feels weird that, like, it feels so rushed, and it's going at a snail's pace. Like, they've been around for so long, and why are they rushing it now? Like, it feels like they've just stormed this entire drama this past month without any real a reason for anything. It just feels out of nowhere. Not a fan of that. But I do like one thing. This is me playing fanfic. This is me, you know, future booking. The fact that they said they'd never fight for the titles again. Right?
Ooh, yeah.
I think they should lose. They lose. And now Cody and Young Bucks can't face for the main championships. They can't face for that. So what I would love is that Cody, like, something happens and he wants to go after that title. And then the Young Bucks, they want to go after their titles. And they both break their promises. And they become this ultimate heels that are just like, well, what, fuck it. We run this company. We make the rules. We said that, yeah, why don't we change it? Thanks. And then they be these kind of heel owners, which I would think would be... And then Cody breaks off from Dustin and QT Marshall, and he has Young Bucks with him, so now there's no reason to like him. That's my hope.
That's not so bad. There's a part of me that kind of hates it because I don't like it when you like retcon ideas.
Sure.
You know, and so like if you say you're going to do something and you put these stakes into this concept that, you know, then you should honor it. Like if it's that big of a deal, it should be there, you know, and wrestling is ridiculous because nope, that almost never happens.
I can't see Cody not going for the AEW championship ever. He has to break it eventually. Yeah. And I just feel that if the Young Bucks get this, wait 5-6 months, have them stew over it. And then Cody's just like, fuck it. Like they're having these backstage meetings. They're like, we're the VPs. We're in a VP boardroom talking about wrestling. And we came and fight for the championship. Fuck it. And then
I'd be into that.
And then they kind of just, and then Dustin's like, you gave your word. You gave your word to the people. The AEW fans are fans. And then he's just like, fuck you, Dustin. Peace. And he just pieces out Dustin. Arn Anderson's gone. He kicks them all out.
Yeah. I think, that would work if they're building to that. I just don't know where else it's going. To me, I'm pessimistic where I'm like, there's no way they're going to lose now if they say something like that. And it's just like thrown in there, you know, like, but if they do lose, then I think that would be the reason for it. You're right. That they eventually have to turn heel and do it because there's no other belt for the tag team to go for, right? Like Cody has a TNT belt. So it's not as big of a deal right now.
They could go singles. For him to not...
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. But I don't think they would do that. No, the Young Bucks have always been together.
No, can't imagine. I can't imagine there being a want for, what is it? What's the scrawny one? Matt Jackson?
They're both scrawny. What are you talking about?
He's the one nobody likes. He's the one that Jim Cornette hates, right?
I think they hate both of them.
No, but he really, he thinks that like Nick Jackson's a good wrestler, but he doesn't like him. But he thinks Matt Jackson is just a towel boy or something like that.
Yes, then I agree. Yeah, Matt, yes. It's probably, he's talking about Matt Jackson. Yeah, yeah.
Fucking guy. I have one more what for you, Mowat. And
oh my gosh.
I think we may have the same what for this one. Darby Allin car crash video. Right? You saw that and how terrible it was.
Oh, it was insane. Yeah.
Just for those not knowing what happened, Darby Allin had another video, well-produced one, where I think he gets hit by a car and he's in a mask, in a Cody mask. And it was dumb. He basically got in a Cody mask, went out into a field, and someone drove a car into Cody. But they never show if it's Darby or not, so I'm not even sure. But that's the end of the video. That was it.
Wow, that is stupid. And I know because I saw the video. That is extremely dumb. Boy.
What do you hope Darby Allin does to his body next? How can he top this? He got hit by a car.
He should set himself on fire.
Has he done that cool? yet?
I don't think he set himself on fire yet.
Oh.
Or he should like drive off a cliff. And we should go in a car.
An skateboard. And it
explodes.
An skateboard that explodes.
It's a skateboard that explodes. Yeah. A huge explosion. and then you just see a hand on the cliff. Like That should be it.
Yeah, excellent. Mowat, are we excited for Full Gear?
I am excited, despite a shitty episode today. I'm very excited. I'm excited for Kenny and Hagman. I'm excited for Young Bucks and FTR, despite the build. You know, there's a lot to look forward to. MJF and Chris Jericho will probably be fun. There's a lot to look forward to.
All right. That's good. That's good. Well, I want to thank you all so much for being and listening and watching us, Loser Lee's Wrestling on YouTube and on Instagram. Please send us mail. Send us mail to the mailbag at loserleespod@gmail.com. We've gotten some great mailbag responses. We've talked about them on the news you can't lose. You can watch that every time I put it out there. It's
Sundays. It should be Sundays.
It should be Sundays. Remember to review us, for Christ's sakes. Review us. I see that you're listening, and that's the crazy part about it. It's almost as if you're not listening to the end of the podcast when I tell you to review, because otherwise you would, right, Bo?
And they have to listen to the whole thing. Why would they only listen to sections on a review show?
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous. Of course they're listening to you.
They have to be. They have to be. Well, Moa, we had a great night tonight. Great AEW fun. Moa, if you were an occupational WWE wrestler in the 90s, what occupation would you be?
I would be a plumber. The meanest shit-eating plumber you've ever seen.
Shit-eating plumber. Moa, bye, everyone. Have a great night.
I don't know why I'm eating shit. I didn't mean to say that. All right, goodbye.
Shit-eating plumber. That's what plumbers eat, too. That's the stereotype, you know. They would call, Duke the shit-eating plumber Moe. The shit tornado. I gotta go clock in, honey. Running late for work. Fun. Oh, I forgot to turn off the goddamn.